your journal for me? Okay, I'll use mine. Let's take it, thank you.
No.
Okay, so it's almost 6:15, and we're going to open up the Boulder Town Planning Commission meeting. We'll start with I want to recognize Marion, Josie, Haley, Cookie, Matt, Colleen, our mayor, Peter, and the audience, and Ted. Okay. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and, does anybody have any other questions or comments about the December minutes before we approve them?
Did you all get a copy of the Rev 2 that I sent out today with Josie's?
Okay. So I'll make a motion to pass or to approve the December minutes.
Does anyone want a second?
Okay.
Thank you, Josie. And we'll vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so the December minutes have been approved. So the next section we go into is anybody that has initial public comments. This is the time to come to the podium, state your name, and make any comments that you have. So we'll have public comments at this meeting at the beginning and also at the end. So if anyone has any comments. Okay, so we don't seem to have any comments, initial public comments. So we'll talk about the 22 meetings, the ninth of the 2020 meeting schedule. We meet on the second Thursday of every month. In summertime, or for 6 months, we meet at 7 o'clock, and during the wintertime for, I think, almost 6 months, once the time changes, we go to 6 o'clock. And does anyone make any changes? Do we want to keep the schedule the way that it has been? Is. So do you want to take a vote? Or?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to keep our regular meeting schedule as it's been, second Thursday of each month.
I'll second.
And then we'll all vote?
Yep.
Aye. Okay, so now we're going to vote on the chair and the vice chair. I'm not sure who wants to open this up as far as voting.
This is for a two-year term.
So can I make a comment about that?
Yes.
Okay, so when we brought our commissioners in, they are fulfilling the leftover of, like, Haley, or Cookie is fulfilling the leftover of Perry being a commissioner.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So we've been voting every year on for the term.
We have been.
So what I wanted to propose basically was that
our ordinance, yeah, says 2 year term.
Right.
We've not been doing it correctly.
Right. Okay. So I guess I'll kind of leave that, because that kind of answers my question for a minute. So.
Okay, I'd like to nominate Colleen to stay as chair for, I guess, the next 2 year term.
I second that nomination.
Do we vote on it?
Yeah, do we
all
vote
in
on
favor?
It?
Yeah. Should probably
roll
have to do a roll call.
Roll call. Josie News, aye. Haley Apperson, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Okay.
And then, are you ready?
Yep.
And then, would someone like to?
I'd like to nominate Matt Cochran for vice chairman.
I second that.
All in favor?
Josie News, aye.
Haley Appleson, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Colin Thompson, aye.
Okay.
So we're good. So then we'll start this year. I still want to go back to that.
What?
I still want to go back to that. Like, since we voted for Perry last year and I came into his spot, this is how I kind of feel about it, because we did the same thing with Haley. Since I filled his spot, do I just continue it on for another year?
No.
Okay.
You filled his spot to the end of the calendar year.
Okay.
At which time there would have been, I don't really remember if he was on his second year or first year term.
We voted last year, so we would be going into the second year.
But I think since he left, you filled a term. This is like a start over vote. This is a start of a 2-year term.
Okay.
Year.
Okay.
Vice chair.
All right. I just, like I said, I noticed, I don't know why.
This is my judicial opinion.
Okay. Oh, okay. I don't like the opinion thing.
Well, our ordinance says 2-year term.
Okay.
And this is how, when you're completing a term, you know, this is just how it works.
Okay. All right. So the other thing that we're going to talk about tonight is an update on the table of uses work group that was created, and Matt, I think Matt's going to speak on that.
Okay, there's not much to report because we haven't had a meeting yet. Our meeting's planned actually for next Tuesday. All I can report right now is the people, this is designed to be a working meeting that's efficient, just to get the work done to then plan to present to the Planning Commission, then we make all our decisions around it and then pass it to the Town Council. Right now, Josie and myself are the two planning commissioners on it. I think Judy Drain has been assigned from the Town Council. And then as far as citizens go, we have Tessa Barkin, we have Pete Benson, Randy Ripplinger, and Jeff Sanders, and possibly I'm trying to get one more citizen that more represents the rancher community. But that's where we're at. And our meeting on Tuesday, we're going to sort of lay out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, how we're going to focus on the economic opportunity definitions first. That's where we're at.
Does anyone have any comments? Sophie, do you have any comments? Okay. And so, thank you, Matt.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds like a good group. Okay, so now we're going to conduct the Utah Open and Public Meetings training, and Peg is going to do that for us.
Okay. Great. Okay, this is a state requirement, annual first regular meeting of January, Open and Public Meetings Act training for all public bodies in the state of Utah. So, the purpose of the Open Meetings Act is the intent of legislature that the state, its agencies, and its political subdivisions, which is what you guys are, take their actions openly and conduct their deliberations openly. So that's the whole reason for being here. So the main things that need to be stressed every year are, what is a public meeting? Every meeting is, by definition, an open meeting that you would hold. A meeting is a quorum, which is a simple majority of the body, and in your case, you have a 5-member body, so a quorum would be 3 people. So anytime 3 of you get together, that constitutes a meeting, not a social meeting, that's something else. If you just sort of happen to end up at the same party together kind of deal, it's not a meeting. But if you are convening for the purposes of discussing stuff, if there's 3 of you, that's a quorum. And we have amended our own ordinances recently to include the alternate member who can make up that quorum if we don't have enough of the regular Planning Commission members. But in general, Mary and the alternate doesn't vote if there's a quorum of all of you present.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
So when we were in our last meeting, I wanted to bring that up. So we had members that were here but that abstained from voting. So does that mean that once they abstain that Marion votes, or because they've abstained, or does that mean that our part of our quorum, they voted that they wanted to abstain?
Okay, I don't know. And I think that's a good question, and I'm glad it's on the record, and we should probably get it answered. I believe that we probably did that improperly, that since there, as the ordinance is states what her role is as an alternate, is if we don't have the numbers. And I think abstaining from a vote maybe doesn't mean that she gets to...
And that's kind of what I would like to look into, as far as if someone is abstaining, I'm just, and it's because we've never had this before.
Yeah.
And so I just want to make sure that we do it right.
Right. And we'll look into it, but it's going to require a Mark McKiff kind of a decision, because I'm not qualified to do that. But
does anybody have any comments on that?
I just think we probably...
I won't do it again.
No, well, that's fine. We probably did
the alternate wrongly, I think.
Yeah, and I just want to find that out, because I feel like that is your vote.
Yeah.
Because you were here, and that was your vote, and you have every right to do that, Cookie.
Mm.
You know, so that's what I would like to find out.
Right, okay. And we will.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that's one of these little things that isn't covered by the DR.
Exactly.
Okay, so public meeting quorum, okay. And a public meeting, of course, has to have a 24-hour notification that I put up. It goes on Utah Public Meeting Notice site, which you should all subscribe to, and so should you all. If you want notification of public meetings pushed to you and not reliant upon someone remembering or forgetting to send out notice, this comes from the state site. Okay. If you say utah.pmn.gov, you'll get there. And you subscribe to whatever you want to, but Boulder City for sure, Boulder Town. Okay, so goes a paper copy goes up. We currently have a separate agenda that goes on our website, our town website, and also the Utah Public Meeting site. So there's plenty of notification that goes out there. I believe when we get our new website set up, we will probably do what the county does, which is if you go in and hit agenda, it'll route you to the Utah Public Meeting. So there's really just one upload for us to do on agenda. Okay, so anyway, agenda 24 hours in advance, and minutes are the official record of the meeting, and I have there's a state law that says 30 days, and I'm supposed to have the minutes up by our ordinances 15 days after. Have them available to be seen 15 days after the meeting. I have been delinquent in some cases, but anyone could ask me for them, and there I have to put them out. The recordings need to be available. The recording needs to be available 3 days after the meeting. So anyone is within the rights to ask for a copy of that recording after 3 days. And again, right now I upload the recordings to our website. So if you go under Planning Commission, then there's a little link that goes to agenda, minutes, and recordings. Has all that stuff as well as documentation that goes along with the meeting. I can't upload the recording to the Utah Public Meetings notice site as I should be, because I time out before I can get it uploaded. I think it's a function of my internet speed. So I've never been able to successfully upload, other than a very, very short meeting. But anyway, it's on the website. Okay, so recordings. Okay, so now you convene a meeting, and within the body of the meeting, you can, if properly noticed, go into a public hearing. The notice for a public hearing requires 10 days prior notice. It's also got to be published in the newspaper in addition to those other notification things. So anytime there's a public hearing, which is required for any kind of an ordinance amendment, in our ordinances we require it for conditional use permits. So subdivision or any kind of ordinance amendment, land use, general plan, any of that kind of stuff requires a public hearing. So that's 10 days ahead of time that people would know about it. You go into a public hearing from a regular meeting, and then the purpose of the public hearing is expressly for the purpose of hearing from the public. And so that's why the chairman calls, you know, gives the instructions of what the public hearing is about. Maybe there's some introductory material she wants to cover. But at that point, anyone who wants to speak in the public hearing can come up to the podium, state their name, and then make their comments. And a lot of times she is within, as the chairman, within her bounds to set a time limit if she wishes to. That's a procedural decision you can make.
3 seconds.
Sorry?
3 seconds.
So, but it's for that purpose alone. It's not for entering into dialogue. It's not to pose questions that then you discuss and answer and everything. It's expressly for the purpose of them getting up and saying what they want to say. And then that part, if there's no more comments, everyone who wants to make a comment is allowed to make a comment. You can't cut anybody, you can't say, no, you can't make a comment. I don't know that it's in Utah code, but I think it's sort of good practice that you make one comment, you don't keep coming up and making multiple comments. I think that's kind of part of the deal. Anyway, then you adjourn. If no more comments are coming, then you adjourn the public hearing, and then you reconvene into the regular meeting. And at the regular meeting is when you wrote down questions that people had or comments you wanted to make, but that's when you discuss the subject as well as what they had to say. And it's never supposed to be a dialogue, ideally. And it's like, I sort of indicated to you on this last go-around that the listening to the recording, trying to make sense of partial conversations and over-talking and dialogue and da-da-da was impossible. And if someone was actually trying to listen to a recording for purposes of any kind of legal action, it would be nearly impossible for them to have a clear record of what actually happened. So for that reason, that's why you put your name on the record. I know who you are, and I can tell your voices when I listen to the recording, but someone, a third party listening to that, wouldn't know who the people are speaking. So that's why you need to say your name, and why there needs to just be one person talking at a time. And even when you're talking up here, sometimes you get carried away and excited and enthusiastic and cut each other off, and I would just suggest that, again, one person at a time speaking is just try to maintain that in whatever way you can. So, I believe, did you have any questions about those deals? That's kind of the main situation. And theoretically, at the first of the year, the county attorney is supposed to notify us of any changes that happen in this act, but we've, to my knowledge, not received any. So this has been in effect for several years, unchanged. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Peg.
Oh, one more thing. I did not cover closed meetings because it's probably, this particular body would probably never have occasion to discuss the things that are legal to discuss in a closed session, which are like litigation and personnel and competency and things of that nature, collective bargaining, things like that. So you guys would never really have occasion to close a meeting.
Okay. All right, thanks, Peg. Okay, so the next thing on the agenda is to determine action on the Julian RSTR CUP. And I think that all of us have read all this information. I would hope that all of us have read all of this information that has come out. And what I would like to propose is if anyone has any more comments, we'll take any comments if anybody has any. We'd like to try and keep it down to a few minutes because we've been at this for 2 months now. So, does anyone have any comments?
Mine's just really brief, and it's the communication that we've been having with Biggins. Katie Biggins, who is the county planner. Not everybody was on those emails. I just correspond with him, and I CC'd Colleen. So, and there was just an update on that today, but I just want all of the planning commission members to be aware of what that was, because it'll be in the record. So his first response, so what I did is I sent Hayden the information that Curtis had passed on to us with the attorney's opinion and the ombudsman opinion. And his response to that was, and my question was that that was a direct conflict with what Hayden had directed at our last meeting, and okay. was asking what his opinion was on that.
Okay. So another thing, go ahead.
Okay. And so his answer was, after speaking with the owner of a title company in the county and Les Barker, the county recorder, for over 2 decades, I stand by my comments 100%. Deed restrictions should, without question, be considered by the planning commission and or town council. Deed restrictions have the power to overturn any county or municipal ordinance because the person who purchases the land agreed to comply with what the restrictions allow or do not allow. And then he went into another paragraph explaining that he does see a problem with the issue that's on the deed that went from Muse to Goldman's, because it says less than one single family home for 10 acres. And I responded that yes, we've gone the rounds on that. That was, you know, drafted by or suggested by an attorney. But regardless of that, the following deed stated that the property, that it was the deed from the Goldman's to the Bosworth, stated the property is subject to development limitation for one single family dwelling. And wanted him to opinion on that. And he said that if the Bosworth deed is the most recent, then you are correct that it does only allow for one single family dwelling. He suggests going to the recorder's office, which we did, that's how we pulled the deed, just to set holding straight. At the end of the day, whatever is on the deed should be honored, and the legislative body does not have the power to overturn or ignore any deed restrictions. So you've got two opinions, they're different. And
okay, does anyone else have any comments? Okay, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to read the letter that we got from Mark McGiff, who is the town's attorney. So this is, it says, generally speaking, government bodies should not take on the role of enforcing restrictions written in deeds. As you say, it would require that the government act in a judicial type role because it requires an interpretation of the language and a determination as to whether such is being violated in any given circumstances. A possible exception might exist where the government body is the entity which required the development to place the restriction in the deed or covenant in the first place. In that circumstance, perhaps the government's interest in being protected is being protected by the restriction, and it may be appropriate for the government to enforce it. Otherwise, it is not a good idea because the government is advancing private interests rather than its own. Quite appropriately, the law favors the ability of landowners to do what they want on their property. The government is allowed a very limited ability to impose restrictions on the use of land. Such restrictions must be carefully imposed. If the restrictions are reasonable under existing law and a proposed use clearly violates the restriction, then courts will normally allow the restriction to stand. However, if the requested use is not clearly forbidden by the restriction, the landowner has the right to an approval. This is set forth in section 10-9A-306 of the Utah Code, which reads as follows. Number 2. If a land use regulation does not plainly restrict a land use application, the land use authority shall interpret and apply the land use regulation to favor the land use application. In short, I don't think we can defend denying an application which we have not clearly outlawed. I know that most cases do not go to court, but we would lose this one. On the other hand, let's suppose that we grant the application and someone wants to take that to court and blame us for granting the application. We almost certainly would win in that case. It's easy to defend. The cases that usually go to court are the ones where the landowner has tried everything possible to use his own land and the government won't let him. So he eventually turns to the court. We don't want to be trying to explain why we are trying to enforce a provision which doesn't apply to us and which probably doesn't apply in this circumstance anyway. That's a bad position for us to be in. So, with that being said, does anyone have any comments? So, since there are no comments, then I believe that we should recommend that we accept the RSTR application from the Julians, and does anybody have a comment on that? And do we have a vote? Do we do a vote?
So we need to form that as, we just formed this motion, we need a second and then a roll call.
Okay, so that was a motion. Okay, so I'm making a motion. So I'm making a motion then to accept the application for the CUP for the Julian RSTR.
I'll second that.
Okay, and then we all vote.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Need a roll call.
Oh, okay. So,
Haley Apperson in favor. Cookie Shouse in favor.
Matt Cochran in favor.
Colleen Thompson in favor.
Okay. And I'm accusing myself in the vote.
Okay. So, congratulations. I want to say something about the fact that when we did these RSTRs, the application process that the Fullers and the Julians put to us, I know that they put in a lot of time, and I wanted to say that they set kind of a precedence on the time and effort that they spent on those to fulfill all the requirements that we asked of them. And so I also want to make a note that I think that we talked about the fact that in a year, those applications will come back before us, and we will take a look at those at what has happened through the year, and then we will take a look at them, and then they will either go forward again or they will be denied. So that's the only other comment that I have on that. Does anyone else have any comments?
I wanted to say for the public review last, just because it's been a confusing situation last month, we tabled the decision on the Julian RSTR because we wanted to confer with the town attorney. That was the letter, although I respect, you know, Josie has a different opinion from the county planner, and I respect deeds and covenants and so on. We're going with the legality in the ordinance right now. There's nothing that says anything about a deed restriction. So according to our ordinance, they've passed everything, and therefore the vote. Okay.
Okay, so now we'll go on to determine an action on the zoning amendment regarding the building permits. So these, what this is basically is, as Caden kind of clearly made a point last month, our amendments, our ordinances need to be updated at times. And so what we're doing right now with the mayor is we're trying to bring some things up into more current action, making it not easier necessarily, but it's not necessarily easier, cleaning things up. So what we're trying to do here is clean things up. And so we have it's a project permit, and it is also a building permit that is required. So I think as far as for the commission, we've looked at this. Does anyone have any comments on this? Are you okay with sending it forth the way that Curtis has this? Do you want to take a minute and look at it, Josie?
So I sent the email out today.
Yeah.
And just bringing it up again, and this came from public comments and questions, and also something that I brought up last month about the 200 square foot, structures of 200 square feet or less that do not require electrical plumbing, septic or mechanical systems. Examples are coops, storage sheds, playhouses, and similar uses and structures. The question was, tree houses, yes, everything would fit under that. Anything that was a structure less than 200 square feet would require a project permit. And I'm just suggesting again that that is a big workload. And I don't, you know, a playhouse just doesn't, it doesn't seem like that needs to go through a process of approval to me. The question was, well, what about setbacks? And yeah, we already have to find setbacks in the zoning ordinance. So if somebody does not comply with that, they already have the consequences of not complying with the ordinance. So to me, to use that as the justification to not have those exempt, it's not a strong enough argument for me. I'm completely in support of any structures above 200 square feet that don't have mechanical. I mean, that to me is it fits into the ag building category, and of course that would need a project permit. That makes perfect sense. And then anything that has mechanical goes through the county and it requires a building permit. So that's what I'm suggesting. Just if anyone else has any input on that.
Okay, so then, are you looking at number three?
Yeah.
And so is there something that you want to change with us?
What I did is I sent out another copy, which is a suggested change. So it would be taking number three, putting that up to the section 1106 exceptions, and it states right now that the following properties, uses, and structures shall, to the extent provided by law, be exempt from the provisions of this code requiring a building permit, however said exempt structures and improvements shall nonetheless, first obtain a project permit from the town holder is required in section 1102. In there, I'm going to have to pull up what I had suggested, but I had suggested that it would be exempt from the project permit under 200 square feet. That would strike out number three, and that is all it would do. So I can pull up what I said to you guys.
Okay, so you're looking to strike out number three.
And it would need to be justified above in the paragraph of 1106.
You mean in the lead-in paragraph to that section?
Yeah.
The following properties, uses, and structures shall, to the extent provided by law, be exempt from the provisions of this code. Requiring a building permit. However, said exempt structures and improvements shall nonetheless first obtain a project permit from the town of Boulder as required in section 1102.
Right, and so to change that paragraph, it would say section 1106 exemptions, the following properties, uses, and structures shall, to the extent provided by law, be exempt from the provisions of this code requiring a building permit. However, said exempt structures and improvements over 200 square feet shall nonetheless first obtain a project permit from the town of Boulder as required in section 1102. Structures of 200 square feet or less that do not require electrical, plumbing, septic, or mechanical systems. Examples are coops, storage sheds, playhouses, and similar uses and structures are exempt from both a building or a project permit. No structure shall be exempt hereunder that is a dwelling intended for human habitation. The building permit exemptions are, they would all stay the same as written, only with a strike number three.
Okay, does anyone have a comment?
I actually agree with that. I think depending on how much acreage you have, a lot of us have four or five structures under 200 square feet, and I can't imagine the zoning administrator going and visiting every one of them and or having to get a project permit for that. So it seems reasonable to me. where I'm at.
And I would agree. I mean, this is an agriculture community. We have a lot of little structures.
I don't even know how you'd keep up with that.
Yeah, it's an excessive workload.
Okay, so does anyone else have any comments on that? Peg, do you have that?
I will have it after I listen to the tape again.
Okay.
Yes.
So then what we're going to, no one has any other comments. So we're going to do the same thing, right? So we're going to make a motion to send this, am I doing it right?
Yeah.
To send this back with the revisions that...
Well,
we have to vote on the revision.
You can vote to recommend it with those changes.
Right.
So when
that's
it goes to the town council, it includes the revisions.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. So do we want to vote on that? So we're going to make a motion to...
Recommend for approval.
Yeah.
The
changes.
Name of thing.
Yeah, the building, the Chapter 11 building codes and permits.
With Josie's suggested changes.
Changes.
Integrated.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
And then we're going to vote. Aye.
All in favor.
All in favor.
Aye, Haley Apperson.
Aye, Cookie Shouse.
Aye, Matt Cochran.
Aye, Colin Thompson.
All right.
And there is a copy of that, how I read it, in your emails this morning, 10:13, so you should have that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so we are going to discuss our RSTR amendment, and we're going to address ratio to permit permanent residences. And this is something that Matt wanted to discuss.
Okay, I was reviewing our RSTR ordinance, which is thorough, and under number 4, under limitation on number and type of RSTRs allowed, number 4A, I don't know if any of you can see that. We had originally, so our intention was originally when we designed the ordinance was we had upper, middle, and lower Boulder. We're trying to geographically separate so we didn't suddenly have a huge percentage of RSTRs in one part of a big spread out town. And we had come up with a number of, I think, 3 or 4 per section. It got changed somewhere along the way, I don't quite remember, to a percentage, 15%, which is fine, but the way that it's worded, it says the maximum number of RSTR shall not exceed 15% of the total number of dwellings occupied by permanent residents. Okay, so as our permanent residents increase, so increase our RSTRs, which I think is a big mistake because the whole intention was to put a cap on it, and then in the future, if it was something that needed to change, it could be changed, but right now, it will progressively just get larger, the amount of RSTRs available. So I want to change that language back and cap it at 4 per 4 baseline limit, not a percentage, because then we get then it comes to 3.7 or some weird thing like that. So let's just, I'd like to put in the language to put, and I haven't edited it, but to put in 4 per section and go back. It's on one of our original drafts, if you look back in the notes, actually. And I think it's more sound and cleaner and straight up. So
anyone have any comments? Actually, I'll let you guys look at this for a minute. I know this is new for...
So you're requesting to change it back?
The maximum number shall not exceed, I think, 4 RSTRs per
section.
Section. So 12 total, basically. Right now we have 2 fulfilled after 5-6 months. So there's still 10 more available. Well, Fogo and Julian.
Yeah, right.
Does anyone have any comments?
Right now, like 15% of Lower Boulder comes out to maybe 4.5, or it depends a little bit on what's a full-time resident. That's always a changing thing, too, so it's a really hard number, I think, to document. It just, to me, it muddies the waters.
Any other comments?
So is there somewhere that shows the exact lines of where these different zones are?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if there's a map, but it is laid out in here.
It's just a laid out.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So it's actually 4D.
It's 4D.
4D, Sorry.
No, that's fine.
And we tried we more or less tried to divide it equitably with about the same amount of permanent owners.
So it's actually on page 4.
So sort of, Lower Boulder, Middle Boulder, and Upper Boulder.
Okay.
So from the graveyard on, from that down to Highway 12 and the Burr Trail, sort of is the east-west line.
Okay. Got it, yeah.
So, I'm going to make a motion.
Do we have to amend the ordinance to do that?
The whole amendment process, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I don't know if that...
You'd have to go back to square one, public hearings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are those public hearings for us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just like any amendment to the ordinance.
Does the application need to come from you guys, town council?
Anybody can make the application. Okay. It says you have to read, but I think anybody can make an application to amend the ordinance, so I'm sure it could come from a planning commission person.
So I want to make a motion that we change on the RSTR 4D, or no, it's 4A. Instead of that maximum number shall not exceed 15% of the total number of dwellings, blah, blah, that will become the number 4. Is that correct?
Per section.
Per section. 4 per section.
12 RSTRs total for the town.
And we could, yeah.
Okay. So what I will do then is just put in... Oh, sorry.
No, I don't have to make a motion.
I don't know.
I think your motion would have to be to file an application to amend the ordinance. And then when you do that, the language can be in the application of what you want to do.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So am I making a motion?
Yes.
So that we make an application to amend the RST ordinance to read what we just said, right?
Yeah.
Maximum.
So the maximum, do you want me to read again? The maximum number shall not exceed 4 per section.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll get that application filled out, and Michelle is the deputy ZA. In Curtis's absence, she can sign it. And we'll have a public hearing scheduled for next month.
Okay.
And then whatever happens, and then you vote and pass it on to these guys.
Okay.
So I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Joseph Muse, all in favor?
Kirky Schaus in favor.
Matt Cochran in favor.
Colleen Thompson in favor.
I put it the way we're in.
Oh, the way we're in.
It's after you discuss upcoming business.
That's all I got.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Well, it's there.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and discuss upcoming business for February 13th, 2020. So I think what we'll have is we'll have information on the table of uses work group.
Yes.
Okay.
And public hearing on.
Public hearing on the building permits.
No, I mean
on the.
Sorry, just the RSTR.
The RSTR amendments, yeah.
A discussion on alternate versus abstaining from Mark McKiff.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I didn't hear that. What was it?
The alternate and abstaining that we started at the beginning, something from Mark McKiff to clear that.
Okay.
Yeah. Who you call him?
Yeah, somebody. Okay. I will call him or Judy or Steve maybe.
Okay. All right.
We'll take care.
Okay.
And we'll get a letter again from him.
Okay.
I have no known business, no applications that I'm aware of.
I'm sure there might be something that might come up.
Could be. Yeah. Well, this is what we know right now, so.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll take the whole meeting to talk about the table of use information that we're receiving.
We better do some work then.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I actually did have a suggestion. It only was actually Cookie's suggestion from a meeting or so ago. And that is maybe if there's the chance, kind of a lull period or something, re-look at the Lee Nellis workshop documentation.
Oh, okay.
And
I have that. I have that too, Cookie.
And yeah. How that, I mean, he's talking about, you know, actually looking at an application and how you go through the approval process. But it's basically just a way to make decisions where you could even use that in the table of use thing where you it's a way to weigh and measure, like, this is important, this is important, this is important, this is important, this isn't really important. And you assign a numeric weight to each of those. And it allows you to prioritize the things that are really, really important to you and urgent or, you know, have high impact and whatnot, and give a lesser importance or priority to things that may be still important, but they're not as important. It's a way to quantify that information in a decision-making process. So it allows you to have maybe a more repeatable kind of way that you come about decision making, and certainly a justifiable way you come about decision making that you can explain, this is how we arrive at a decision. So I think, Josie, you were at that workshop, right? And Colleen was there.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there, weren't you, Matt? Or did you
Cookie,
you
were there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
was there.
So three of the five,
four of us
were there, and Cookie was there.
Yeah,
so
yeah, four
it'd be
us.
Nice if you will go over that one more time
before
it actually happens.
Yeah. Right.
It kind of takes the emotion out of it because a lot of us have feelings about how things should develop, but it helps you just keep it real and even treatment of people and applications.
Yes. So I did those copies that you have. Again, I've lost track of who I gave what copies to, if I've given any out. But I have copies available of that segment of the workshop where he gave an example and everybody worked through the example, but he kind of defines what he's talking about. So that's available for you to read. It's not the same as the workshop, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll, create our own workshop.
Assuming we don't end up with more business, is it okay to add that to your agenda?
Yeah, I think it would, because that way it'll give us the chance, like you said, to talk about it and refresh it. But that would be great.
One other thing, you sent an email out today about some training coming up. Do you want to discuss that?
Thank you, Josie.
Yeah. Right. And that particular one is in March, I think, right?
Yeah.
And did you say that's a webinar?
Looks like it's a live webinar.
So was that like when we went over to Bicknell?
Yeah. I don't know the details of it. I'm assuming you could actually log into it. Probably it's if we apply as a group, probably from a central location like in here, but
that would be great.
It would be something that happens on the PC. And then if you're subscribed to the live webinar, then you have the chance to ask questions and interact. But there's also the possibility within that training to get a DVD of the finished deal or just a transcript. So it's cheaper to get a written transcript, but, you know, we could probably, I haven't investigated getting a discount, but I sent that out so to the Board of Adjustment because I think it applies to their knowledge base too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, yeah, you want to talk about doing that and I can get more information?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be great to follow through with that.
Okay.
There was a lot of information in that
that
we could use.
It sounded, yeah.
Okay, so is that it for upcoming business?
Yeah.
Okay, so then the other thing that we do, well, if we want to, we'll open it up again for public comment before we close the meeting. If anyone has any public comment, help yourself, Donna.
I just want to comment on the process used for the work groups. Since I remember when the discussion last month was referring to when the original work groups, where that came from and where all this came from, it was open to the public and people said, ask, you know, people put in if they were interested or not. So when I heard you were going to do more work groups, I just presumed, that was my presumption, I misunderstood the meeting, that when you were going to get people from the community, that you would put it out openly and see who wanted to do it. And now it seems that never happened as far as I know. I never saw a pegboard or a notice anywhere about that. But you have many people picked already with just one opening left. So that's really different than what was presented to how that was going to come about. And it was really probably more my interpretation. But based on using, we'll go to the community for work groups, I presumed it was going to be the way we had done it before. No one ever specified it would be just, I'll just pick who I want. So that being said, I was interested, and I'm not a rancher, but I do represent a ranch, and I'm in contact with ranchers. I might not have an immediate response, but I just had a great talk with Brevi May the other day about things going on. So just saying, you're free to do however you want. I just was wanting to let you know that I just thought it was going to be done differently. But it sounds like you have a good group, though. Thank you.
Can I respond, Matt Cochran? So, you're right. I did send out a pegboard, and the idea behind this was actually different from the work groups you're talking about. It was in relation to a work group we did to redraft the general plan, and we needed a small amount of people where we could actually focus and get work done and not involved. And so. So what is public that way, I'd love to have you in the meeting. We need a few extra citizens because not everyone's able to show up. So if you'd like to come, that would be great. I think that's all I have to say about it. You know, and then from there, you know, that work will come to the Planning Commission. It will be discussed by the Planning Commission. There'll be, I think there'll be a public hearing on it, and then it will go to the town council, and there'll be another public hearing. So there'll be plenty of opportunities not creating it, but for the public to comment on it.
Great, thank you.
It's creepier over here. Steve Cox, Mayor. I just want to remind those of you that have been on the Planning Commission before and the new people, there is a budget that you have for training that can be used as training. So if any of you feel like you need training and there's an opportunity, we will pay for your expenses to go to training. We'll also pay if you can find someone to come in and help you solve an issue, such as we had with Lee Nellis. We have money for you to do that. So always feel free to seek training and advice from trained professionals with the budget you have. So I just wanted to remind you that that's there for you guys. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do we have any other public comments? I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second. Second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Okay.
What, after...